about what you do here in the local community. We appreciate that. And now we'll turn to Davey D, disc jockey.
Just for people who don't know, I've been in radio for close to 15 years, spent 11 of them at probably one of the most influential radio stations in the country, which was KMEL, which is a Clear Channel affiliate. With that being said, a few things that we need to keep in mind. Radio, generally speaking, is very apt at doing what we call smoke and mirrors in the business. That means that we present an image and make it sound good. We're really good at selling things, crunching numbers, and painting this picture that really achieves our end. And the thing that we depend upon, collectively speaking, is the fact that the average person doesn't really know what goes on behind the scenes, the type of manipulation that takes place, all the types of games that are played to really paint this picture. That being said, what happens is that that is boosted by the fact that you'll have very few DJs like myself who are in a professional level who will speak out. Now, I think when I spoke in Seattle, I showed my contract, which said you can't speak about inner workings of your station. I had to give up my servant's package so I could continue to speak about these sorts of things. So you're not going to find your popular DJ coming to a hearing like this and saying, look, these are the things that are going on, and these are the reasons why they need to be corrected. That usually means that the spokespeople are going to be the managers or the owners who are going to paint the rosy picture, which you often have to question, is it motivated? Especially this whole question about localism, is it motivated by an economic agenda, or is it really a sincere, genuine concern about what the local community needs, even if they, as owners, disagree with that? And that's where the real question comes in. So we have to keep that in mind. The other thing that happens is that we forget, when we do all this smoke and mirrors, that all these changes that we're talking about, even if you can find radio stations that show these examples, they're not institutionalized. So yeah, we can point all across the country and say, this DJ at this station, he showed all the public love for us. Oh, that radio station, they did a nice thing. They did a concert and all that. But is it institutionalized? What happens if that local DJ who's doing the favor for y'all doesn't like you? What happens if the radio station that owns 12 in the market decides that they don't feel your organization because you are organizing and doing all this activist work to result in these type of hearings? You might not be on the airwaves and you won't have access to the public. So you have to have these things institutionalized. It just can't be nice guys doing you a favor. That's a problem. The other thing that you have to keep in mind, a lot of these quote-unquote cosmetic changes, to me, are designed to placate people in the halls of power. So, in other words, we can paint the picture and say we got the ratings, we got all these things that we're doing, but the problem still stands. I've been to a lot of hearings over the past couple of years. Every time, whether it's in Seattle, San Francisco, here, you name it, the halls are always packed, standing room only, and a lot of people are just really upset. So even if you can present the nice picture, it doesn't eliminate the problem, which is evident by you being here. So we have to keep that in mind. Finally, a couple other things I would say is that oftentimes radio plays this winner-take-all mentality. I think the woman down at the end, I forgot your name, mentioned the thing about significant audience. Okay, let's say 51% of the audience agrees with what the stations want. They want more consolidation and all these different things. What about the other 49? Are they just out of luck? Do they have any recourse? Do their issues no longer matter? We're talking about a situation where we live in a country where we're supposed to be able to vigorously debate the issues, vigorously flesh these things out and really have an exchange. If it's just a situation where it's winner take all and then everybody else, we just try to act like they don't exist and paint this picture like they never even protested or brought these issues up, we're still going to have the problem. I'll give you an example. In Detroit, in Chicago, in Cleveland, in Kansas City, in New York, you had community organizations, significant numbers that had launched boycotts against radio stations. There was the Turn Off the Radio campaign. There was the Blackout Friday in Detroit. There was the Chicago situation. All these things where you were just looking around and saying, everywhere you go, people having the same problems, especially in the urban realm. But none of the radio stations talked about it. You didn't see it on the local news coverage. You didn't see any of these things. So then, when you come to a hearing like this, and start to mention it, people are going, well, I never heard this before, which goes back to my first point, that if you can cultivate a learned behavior, condition people just to accept what you continuously feed them, even if it's mediocre, they don't know until you start to point out all the things that have been omitted. You know, for example, Clear Channel in San Francisco, after 9/11, put up a dozen posters on all their billboards and had all these public affairs advertisements going on about give to the Clear Channel Fund, be patriotic. It was only when somebody on the inside like me pointed out, say, hey, did you notice that they didn't tell you about one voter registration campaign, didn't interview one candidate on any of the stations, didn't do any sort of election coverage or encouragement to a community that where you have 70% of the people not voting, came the March 7th primary after 9/11. And people are looking around and go, yeah, you know what? They didn't do that. And so this goes back to the seriousness of this problem. This is not a thing of trying to make ourselves look good if we're media owners or if we're in the media. This is very serious business for a lot of people. Very serious business. I feel even trapped because I only have 5 minutes to explain so much where there's a whole lot of people who have protested, who have did studies, who have gone back and forth and sending delegations to the stations and doing all types of things to bring out this type of awareness, and they're not even here to explain themselves and talk about the organizing and the challenges that they faced and how every single time they were rebuffed. If you listen to the radio stations in San Francisco, some of the key things that people are complaining about, local artists not getting played, that was the basis for all the boycotts in the cities I mentioned. Some of the community access that a lot of key organizations, other than one or two that got on the airwaves had, they didn't have access. So now you see some of these cosmetic changes. But what they don't tell you is that it didn't come after all these protests and everything. It only came when another radio station came into town and said, we'll fill the void. Then you can listen to all the local groups. Then you can hear all the public service announcements. Then that same radio station that was turning away dozens of people at a time and ignoring all these important issues, suddenly they want to be your best friend. And we're supposed to buy into it and say, yes, sign on the check and give them whatever they want. This has got to stop. It goes beyond just a soundbite to the hearing. It goes beyond against a few station owners touting what they can do, giving anecdotal evidence, and then making everybody think that that's the way it is all across the country. There's serious prices that you pay if you're on the inside of these stations and you speak out against it. You won't find anybody who's working for any of these big major corporations speaking out. All the hearings we've been at, have you seen any of them? I mean, you've been at these things, you all see it. Because you get blackballed in an industry where it's increasingly getting smaller and the competition is less and less. So everybody keeps their mouth shut. And then we have this illusion that everything is A-okay. There's so much more I could add. We don't have a whole lot of time. I'll answer questions. I will say one thing, that there was a study that was done, and I'll just conclude with this, because this was something that wasn't covered locally by the TV stations or the radio stations. You had a group of people, mostly 20-something-year-olds, those type of people who you say are apathetic, the hip-hop audience that doesn't do anything except rap and wear fat gold chains, to listening and monitoring the local radio stations in their community for a couple of months, came up with a set of recommendations, conclusions, talked about it, put it in the paper, passed it out to everybody. Not only did it not get covered on the local media, but then when these changes that they recommended started to come, the very people who organized were not part of the process when it came time to seating people at the table, which means that there was a punitive action against those who organized. And so people who are getting airplay and access now, they're the ones that didn't even organize in the first place, which is a shame, so that you still have the same problem and those very key issues not being addressed. Thanks a lot.
Very much, Davey D, for taking the time and having the courage to come here. You blew through the clock, and I didn't even know it because I was paying such close attention. And I want to thank you again for all your information and what you said.